ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome in. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. This is Sacktown Sports 1140. Hello, Scott Marsh.
Frank, good to talk to you.
I am Frank LaRosa, and we don't have time to talk to each other because we have another packed show with Angie Dixon from First Tee, Len Dumas, Executive Director, Northern California PGA, and Aaron Young from the Titleist Company. Lots to do, lots to say, all coming up right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sacktown Sports.
Thank you for listening. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour, Sacktown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa, along with Scott Marsh. And Scott, it's always a pleasure to have Angie Dixon with us. Angie is the Executive Director, First Tee, Greater Sacramento, and you all know her story, how she basically started with the program, and all these years later, she runs it. Hi, Angie, how are you?
Thanks for having me today, and thank you, Scott. Always good to be on.
Great to see you, Angie.
There's always something to talk about with First Tee. Certainly, the basis of the program and what it is. And for those that don't know, we'll kind of give them a little clue as to the 50,000 juniors that you support, or 50,000 plus every year, which is a phenomenal number. But how you do it is by raising funds through initiatives and programs and things like that. And you have a great one coming up. You know, this was fun when we first talked about it, and to know that now you're in your third annual hole-in-one shootout, that's really remarkable that you're that far down the road.
Yeah, it's actually quite a unique event, and it's been so fun. We have the support of the Folsom Auto Mall, as well as Toronto Country Club, and just a super fun thing where you have 18 shots at a hole-in-one throughout the course of your round. And we have had a hole-in-one each of the last 2 years. So that is pretty incredible.
That's really remarkable. And certainly a twist on a normal hole-in-one shootout, because, it's normally one hole and you get one shot. But this is basically almost a tournament-style format, in that you play in groups and you play all 18 holes at Serrano. And you have, as you say, 18 chances, and even if you don't make a hole-in-one, there's also a closest-to-the-pin prize on every hole as well.
Yes, there is. So there's a $250 cash closest-to-the-hole on every hole. And the thing, when you say it's so unique, when we first called the hole-in-one company to get hole-in-one insurance, we had to talk it through quite a bit. They could not grasp what it was. They said there's really no other tournament doing this in the nation, and we've really, it's our third year running, and it works out great. We have 9 holes that are worth $20,000 in cash, and the yardages on those holes are 135 to 145 yards, so that very attainable for pretty much anyone. And then we have 9 other holes that are worth $40,000 towards the car of your choice at the Folsom Auto Mall, at any of the dealers. Those holes are a little longer. I believe they're around the 160 to 170 mark, but still very attainable.
Not only do you have a chance at all of these holes, but you have an opportunity to spend some time with some friends in your group as you play the event. And also you get to support this great youth development organization, First Tee, Greater Sacramento. So all in all, it's a pretty good win.
Yeah, it's so fun. We play in an eightsome because everyone's just hitting the one shot. Several of the groups have side bets going as to who's going to get the closest and different things like that throughout. But really, they're done playing golf in under 3 hours, and then we have a nice reception afterwards and give out a lot of money. So super neat, super unique way to raise funds that we need to make this organization thrive. So very fun day.
Scott, you need to put it on your calendar. It's March 18th at Serrano Country Club. Starts at 2 p.m. And why we haven't done this yet, I don't know. But We'll have to put it on our calendars. Angie, how does one get an entry into this, and where do they go to make it happen?
I would say probably the easiest way is to just visit our website, First Tee Greater Sacramento. Just Google it, and right there on the events page, it'll be on there. You're also welcome to, you know, give us a call. We're happy to help in that way too. You can sign up as an individual. You can sign up as four people or up to eight. And it is a pretty special, fun thing. I've done a lot of golf tournaments in my years, and this is quite unique. And we've had really super favorable feelings from everyone who's played. So I'm excited, Scott. I did hear that you might be playing this year, and we're excited to have you.
Oh, I'll be there. It's on my calendar. What I want to know, okay, for somebody like Frank, who has three hole at once, like once he gets the first one, is he ineligible for the rest of the day, or how does that work?
No. And in fact, that's a great question. On the nine cash holes, even if someone like Frank gets a hole in one, if you came along behind him and got a hole in one, you also get the $20,000 cash. So we have multiple winners on those holes. And yes, if Frank decided he wanted to have two hole in ones in one round, he could do that. Yep. It's been quite a fun celebration the last 2 years. Each time the person got a hole in one, the buzz that went throughout the entire course was just palpable. It was very cool.
Scott, I think we might have to put together a golf to go team and make this an event.
No, we can't miss the shootout. This is incredible.
There's just too much going on, and so many programs that will benefit from this. Angie, you've got some great things going on. Rise Golf is a program that's kind of dear to my heart. You're kind of expanding that.
We are. Our Rise Golf program stands for Reach, Inspire, Support, and Empower. We are reaching underrepresented youth in our community. We are getting them right out to the golf course. 98% of the children in the program are children of color that many have never even known that golf was an option to them. We are partnering with local Black fraternity and several community centers and different groups to be able to deliver this program along with our board. Our board members are super supportive of it. And these kids come out and really learn how to play golf. And we don't just kind of dangle the carrot there. We also equip them. They have chances to earn new sets of clubs. We've awarded over 40 sets of golf clubs to kids. And we've had over these last 3 years, and we just kind of had the first set of kids that have been trading them up for their next set because they've grown. And it's really such a rewarding thing. We also partner with Youth on Course to be able to provide these young people with the ability to play golf for, you know, $5, $6 at the local courses, et cetera. So what we're really excited about is we're expanding it this year. We're doubling, nearly doubling our impact by moving to Elk Grove as well. So in addition to our Hagen Oaks location for programming, we will also be at Emerald Lakes. And we're really excited about that.
I'm really excited about the Hiram Johnson Learning Center, which is, a brainchild of the Morton Golf Foundation so many years ago. And as a member of that board, it's fun to see this finally come to fruition with so many log jams that were there in the way, whether it was regulations or funding or whatever. But it's actually going to open at Hiram Johnson, and it will be a program of the First Tee.
Yes. We are in proud partnership with the Morton Golf Foundation. They are they always kind of refer to them as the funding arm and we the program arm. And we do a lot of funding to make the programs happen as well. But really what it all boils down to is just a beautiful partnership between Morton Golf, First Tee, and the Sacramento Unified School District. They put in an entire learning facility out there. That has the artificial turf, huge putting green and chipping green, a pitching area, bunker, hitting bays. And we are going to begin programming in just under 2 months out there at the facility. And really kind of we're just kind of on the cusp of what all is possible for the neighborhood around the school and all of the feeder schools that go into Hiram Johnson, as well as the high school students themselves. So it is something we are very excited about, and it has been a long time coming. You know, Frank, it's with golf, it's sometimes hard to get kids to a golf course. So if you can bring the golf course to them, and you can be right in their backyard, and you can, you know, provide transportation through SAC Unified with buses and get the kids there, they have a chance to experience this sport that maybe otherwise would never have been something available to them. And, you know, we're, as you know, we're not just about golf. We're about way more than that, and being able to teach them the life skills and the character values that they need to succeed in life. So it's a big deal for us. We're excited about that one as well.
I was going to put a qualifier on unique, and I think you can't. Unique is unique, but this, not unlike the hole-in-one shootout that the insurance company talked about, that no one else is doing it. This this partnership with all of those folks and having it available for the community as well is unique, and yes. You know, the success quotient there is going to be very high.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been doing what we do for 40 plus years now, and we haven't quite done this yet. And this is pretty neat. To us, it is a game changer to be able to be right in that community and to have something that these kids can see available to them. So,
Scott, hopefully there'll be an opening event, and the Golf2Go radio show maybe can do a little remote from there as well.
We need to be out there, and I've driven by there many times, and it's exciting to see that all come together. And it's just such an incredible thing. I know that community is going to benefit so much from that. And just the kids in that area, it's such a remarkable thing, Angie. So I'm just so happy.
We are. Yeah. Thanks, Scott. We're planning a ribbon cutting in March. We're just working on the date. So we will be sure to invite you.
Great.
And you've got everything else on your plate. You got 50,000 juniors that you deal with every year at all the programs. Your girls' golf program is growing in leaps and bounds.
Yes.
What do you do in your spare time, Angie?
Well, we have a wonderful team, and we have a wonderful staff. We've got two alumni on our staff, actually three if you count me. Really just love what we do. And we have a wonderful board. We have 31 board members who are supporting the great work of this organization. And we have a community that supports us. There are a lot of friends of First Tee out there. So for us, we're kind of just always thinking about what the next thing is. We aren't really getting stagnant or stale in anything. We are continuing to grow what we're already doing, but we're also looking at new things. In fact, Frank, we are now reaching over 60,000 young people with our growth in these last couple of years. One of the things I'm also very proud about is our work with individuals with disabilities in the community. And we have quite a few things that we do in terms of an adaptive PE program and a program that partners with Special Olympics, our Cal Eagles. We also have an L's for Autism program. And I'm really excited that we're expanding the L's for Autism program out to Empire Ranch this year. And, you know, golf is such a great game for all. But for an individual with a disability, it is attainable. It really is. The ball is not moving. No one is coming toward them. It gives them a chance to be out, have a healthy lifestyle. And we love that our program never ages out. So there are kids that were in our program in 1983 in our California Eagles program, which is primarily serving young people with Down syndrome. And adults, and they are still in our program today, 40 years later. So that is something we are very proud of as well.
You know, Angie, I've been around the First Tee since the beginning, and but I still get the hairs on my arms kind of stand up when I hear you talk about it, even though I've been so deeply involved. But to hear you actually talk about what the First Tee is, and so many have the misconception that it's a program that teaches kids to play golf. It's so much more than that. It's youth development, and hats off to what you do. How can people help and certainly how can they help support financially?
Absolutely. So it does take a lot of support. We raise all of our funding here locally to do what we do. Of those 60,000 young people, 58,000 participate in our program free of charge every year, thanks to the donations from our community. So they can play in our hole-in-one shootout. They could go on our website and make a gift. They can give a gift in honor of a loved one, etc. We also always need volunteer support. We have many initiatives that we are doing. They can go on our site as well and click to volunteer. We'd love to meet with them. And, you know, really, we also ask that you always point children to our program. We want young people to know about it. And this is another just a stat for you. But if your parents play golf, it's 1 in 4 shot that you're going to play golf. You're going to try it at least once in your lifetime. If they don't, it's 1 in 200. So you golfers out there in this community, kind of pointing this program to young people who maybe parents don't play golf. We have quite a few mentors in this program as well, and quite a few things that we do, including our Watson Links program, where we partnered with Tom Watson this year to have mentors play with the young people on the course. But we really are excited about giving them these opportunities that they otherwise wouldn't have. And like you said, it's not just about golf. It's about the character and the values they learn in the program.
Hats off. Continued success. And this is Angie Dixon, Executive Director, First Tee Greater Sacramento. And if you hear her talk or see any of the programs or talk to any of the kids who will take off their hat and look you in the eye and shake your hand, it's remarkable what they do. So continued success. Scott and I are there every step of the way in any way we can help. And if you can't find the website, Google First Tee Sacramento. It's really easy. Angie, thanks so much for being with us today. Appreciate you and all your program does.
Thank you, Frank, and thanks for all of your support. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate
you,
guys.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Thank you for listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hello, everyone. I'm Frank LaRosa, along with my partner, Scott Marsh. And Scott, we always enjoy when Len Dumas is with us. Len is the Executive Director of the Northern California PGA. Actually, I should say Len Dumas PGA, because I think it's important to point out when we've got guests that are members of the PGA. They're across the country. I'm sure Len can tell us how many PGA professionals there are, but I know in Northern California, his group is comprised of about 1,100 PGA professionals. So everywhere you turn at a golf course, you're sure to find one. Len, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank, Scott. First off, Happy New Year to you guys. Happy New Year to everyone. It's great to be back. You've always given us such an opportunity to talk about what we do in the greatest game of all. And to your point, Frank, we just, as a matter of fact, we were at the PGA show last week, and our leadership announced that we have gone over 30,000 in terms of, we broke the 30,000 mark in terms of PGA members and associates who are those professionals that are working their way towards membership. So to some extent, pretty historic.
That's a huge number. I do want to talk about the PGA Merchandise Show, which is, you know, one of the largest gatherings in the world, really. But there's a couple of things I kind of want to pick up, because we haven't had you on the show in a while. And I know towards the beginning of the year, you had your PGA player teacher coaching forum. And basically what that is an opportunity for your PGA professionals to continue their education. The notion is that, my PGA professional learned how to teach 20 years ago, and he's still doing that, or she's still doing that. And that's not the case due to their own continuing education and what you provide in the player teaching coaching forum. So this was a big one for you this year. How did it go?
It went great, Frank. And thanks for bringing that up. We have been virtual since 2020. Actually, 2020 was our last one. Then COVID hit, of course. So for 21, 2, and 3, we were virtual, but we wanted to get back outside. And we were fortunate enough to host it at Lake Merced. Golf Club in Daly City, of course. And we were outside. The first day, Monday, was just gorgeous. And this is our teachers teaching teachers is the best way. This was our 27th year that we've done it. And we had George Gankus this year, Marcus Potter, Nick Clearwater from Golf Tech, Philip Dawson, who was our Northern California Teacher of the Year, Laird Small. And Laird, everyone knows Laird, and Roger Maltby. We had Roger come and do a fireside with us a little bit, which was really well received. And Greg Johnson, who's our Fit Golf partner. And it just shows the specialization of the game when Greg talks about fitness in terms of specific golf issues. If someone slices the ball, if someone draws, cuts it, does this, does that, specific exercises that may not be their talent that's preventing them. It just may be their fitness. So we had 130 attendees and just a tremendous couple of days. So very well received by all.
You know, Len, I think that's a little nugget that you just mentioned there, that it may not be the player's talent that, or lack of talent that is making them either slice the ball or whatever. In many cases, it could be fitness, as you say. It could be something in their grip. I mean, it could be the fact that their golf clubs are not fitted to them, that the lie is off and the toe is digging in or whatever. And that's why it's really important to kind of get with someone that can take a look at those things and figure out what it is your issue actually is and make the game so much more fun. You know, the fact that you go along thinking, gee, I'm just not a very good player, it may not have anything to do with what your real issue is.
Or certainly the willingness, right? It could be, as you say, the equipment could be out of whack. It also could be that particular body is just not ready for that. And we look at the advancements in technology. So fittings are done all the time now. And it's amazing, even if you go through a tour player's bag, things might not be quite what they think they are. So always great to have a fitting to make sure that it fits you and your swing and your physical makeup. And then on the fitness side, as we say, if you have this situation, that there are specific exercises for that body part to help fix that. And again, that's all has to do with the sophistication and where we are with technology and the measurements. And it's all about having more fun playing the game. But that level of measurement of putting, of wedge game, of the game off the tee is just incredible, and the knowledge that the instructors have these days is just totally off the charts.
You mentioned that the forum was at the Lake Merced Country Club, it's just been redone by Gil Hance, and everybody says what an incredible golf course it is. Not that it was a bad one before, but when you touch it up with someone like him, there's a lot to look forward to. So Scott and I are both looking forward to getting down there and seeing for ourselves.
You will enjoy it, Frank, Scott, no question. And it is entirely different from the original golf course. The routing is different. The holes are different. The grass is different, and you'll just love it. So they're able to, within this, build also a tremendous practice area, which we were able to take advantage of. There's a full swing area. There are a couple of greens for wedge play. And then there's just a massive putting green just in front of the clubhouse. So I hope you get over there. I know you will, and you're going to love it. But well done. Well done all around. And something very, very important. The members are really pleased with the outcome, too, which is just great.
That always works well. I want to ask you a little bit about Roger Maltby, but what was the, you know, it's hard to compress 2 days, but if there's one thing or one theme or one tone that came out of that whole teaching forum, what would you take away from it?
Well, there are two things. You know, we have some very, very sophisticated teachers, Frank, still learning, right? Still learning, and that's what they come. Though they may go about a swing issue, not necessarily have the same idea about how to fix it, they're still very willing to listen to each other and learn from each other. So that's it. Certainly the interaction between the professionals, as we mentioned, Laird Small, some of the others that have been teaching for decades, and some that are just getting started in teaching, and watching them interact and be together. And we had instances where they worked individually with someone, work on their wedge game, work on their putting, how to read greens, and fitness, of course, was there. And, you know, the reading of the greens, you'd be amazed. We look at it, we take a glance, and we go, okay, there's so much involved. The grain of the grass, where's the sun at the moment? Where's the hole cut? Is it uphill? Is it downhill? How to tell when you really can't tell, and so on. So all great stuff, great instruction. And it was really nice to have them do it with other professionals who had maybe an issue with their wedge game and have them come on up and work on it in front of everybody. So a bit intimidating, but knowledge all around.
Had to be just so much fun having Roger Maltby there. What a personality he is. And he certainly loves Northern California golf. What was it like being with Roger?
It was great. It was, you know, Roger's local, born and raised. Right. You know, in Modesto, and then, of course, San Jose State. And he had a great year. His first year on tour, not only did he, which was 1975, not only did he win two events, but he won them back to back. And one, of course, was the famous event in Massachusetts where he left his check at the bar. And so everybody loves that story. And then in 76, he had another win. And at Mirrorfield, which was of course, so in essence, that was the first memorial that Roger won. So he was totally entertaining. And what was really funny, I just said, Roger, welcome. And I didn't say anything for the next 20 minutes. And he said, Len, I think I covered everything, didn't I? I said, well, you did, because I only wrote down one question. Yeah. So he was just great. He was just great. And that, you know, why Roger? Again, because a great, great career, his broadcasting career, his playing career, his being a native. But it was also, you know, just kind of to break up with all the instruction we had going on, just a little way to break the mood. And he was just great.
Scott, we need to break the mood and get Roger on the show. What do you think?
I think so. I like the idea of just introducing him and then letting the segment take care of itself. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good idea.
All good.
Len, maybe you can catch us up on your thoughts from your trip to Orlando and what you took away from being back there at the big golf expo.
There were two things, Scott. One is that the floor, as we, you know, those that have been there know, the Orange County Convention Center is just massive, right? And each year, 2021, 22, 23, it's gotten a little larger since COVID, but it was actually packed this time. I mean, it was full bore, which was great to see all the vendors there and talking with them about how they felt the traffic was, and they felt the traffic was great. So that's really important, right? Because without them, we don't have anything. And for us, we had myself and six staff members with us. And the reason for that was we have a couple of days of meetings, executive director meetings, that gave them a chance, and staff was allowed in. So it gave them a chance to meet their peers from around the country and get to know them and get to know best practices, but also really to be at the town halls when our leadership spoke, President John Linder, CEO Seth Waugh, our new COO, Craig Kessler, our new chief financial officer, John Connolly. It gave our staff an opportunity and other staffs around the country to see how the PGA really works, all the things that are happening at one time, from our growth of the game initiatives to our philanthropy, which is, of course, PGA Hope. So great, great trip. Scott, thanks for asking. Fully successful. But like I said, it's back. Okay, yeah. It's back again, and it's back in full force. Just awesome.
I think that's the theme for 2024. It's back. Golf's been back for several years, but just everything else is back too. Maybe you can just give us a sketch on what you see for 2024.
Our PGA Hope, you know, which is our philanthropic side, is just booming. We're going from 18 programs to 26 programs this year. And that is getting a little further north each time, getting a little further south each time, covering this footprint. But, you know, our veterans are everything to us. And when our program is growing like that, that's just great for everybody.
You know, you've got so many things that will continue. I'm assuming I you know, the PGA Junior Tour and the drive, chip and putt contests. So there's a lot on tap for not only for players, but for the PGA for 2024.
Yeah, no question, Frank. And all those things continue to grow. And when the summer hits, We start drive, chip and putt generally late May, early June. Junior League has already been going on. We were fortunate to host the Junior League Regional Championship last year. And as we discussed when we were on, two teams from Santa Clara, Coach Terry Sullivan and John Snopkowski had a team in both national championships. Just amazing. And then, you know, whole programs keep going. Family Cup keeps going. So just terrific growth in the game. Nothing slowing down yet.
We're talking with Len Dumas, PGA Executive Director of the Northern California PGA. You know, you mentioned a word, it just kind of slipped through, and it what a simple concept that has meant so much for so many. You referred to best practices, and you know, I think anybody could take this into their own business, and certainly help make their business grow and be able to come up with new ideas. Sometimes, especially with small business, when you're, you know, in a somewhat secluded kind of business, and that you do everything on your own. This notion of best practices, which are basically things and ideas that people around the country have come up with that already work, and the notion of learning what those practices are and then taking them and making them work in your own facility. Again, it's such a simple concept, but boy, it really works. And I know it works well for the PGA.
It does, Frank. And that's why when we get together on a national basis, we'll learn something that some other part of the country is doing that's just magnificent. So I'll give you one example from each side. If we look at our philanthropy, last year we had Birdies for Hope. We partnered, the Northern California PGA Foundation partnered with Tuesday's Children on 9/11 as a fundraiser, and putting two organizations together like that just covers so many more people who are so generous and want to help. And so, you know, we share, there's enough to go around, and partnering with Tuesday's Children was just a great experience. And we're looking forward to doing that again. On the section side, you know, we look at things like, how can we take, it's a game. Sometimes when we play, we forget it's a game, but it is a game. You know, how can we take this out to corporate America and the juniors that don't have access? And, you know, we know about Youth on Course, just a tremendous program. But also now we talk to corporations, we talk to companies about our golf professionals coming to them as almost a staff benefit and doing a clinic or doing an outing and so on and so forth. So how can we get them involved with the game of golf as a benefit to themselves, you know, supporting what we do? So there's two best practices, you know, using the game as a potential staff benefit on one side, and then partnering with another organization to affect more lives. As you know, both of you know, our tagline on our foundation is impacting lives through golf. So it just becomes more and more powerful when we share.
Well done, and continued success. I think the fun and enjoying the game is if I had to put a theme on this show, certainly I know the G-man, Gary Cheryl, says, every time I listen to the show, you're talking about having fun. And as you suggested, sometimes mentally it might be a little tough, but ultimately, I suppose at the end of every round, you know, there's the hugs, there's the handshakes, there's the smiles, and you know, you spent some time with some friends and had a great day, no matter how well or how well you didn't play. So it's that's our theme, and we continue to work hand in hand with the PGA in making that happen for anybody that wants to enjoy this game.
Yeah, Frank, only in golf. And one of my favorite spots at the merchandise show is the new gadgets, right? The new inventions for the year, and it's become really sophisticated. Where there were a couple of times I had to just stare at the thing and try to figure out, what in the world is that? Where do you put it? And what exactly are we trying to solve with that thing?
I'm guessing some of those you probably can't explain, so we'll just pass on that.
Well, yeah, pretty much, because I never did quite figure it out. But, you know, only in golf, right? We can isolate an elbow or something. It's just awesome.
Len Dumas, PGA Executive Director of the Northern California PGA. Thanks for being with us today. You always have a spot here on the Golf to Go Radio Hour.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Scott. Great to be with you one more time. We'll play soon.
You will indeed, Len.
Back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back in. You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. Our next guest on the Golf to Go show is Aaron Young. Aaron Young is the Northern California rep for Acushnet Golf, which you're more likely to know as the Titleist company. They're a parent company for Titleist. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Frank, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's been too long, and I'm glad we finally touched base. Were you at the PGA show, by the way? We've been talking to folks about the PGA show.
I have not. The West Coast is not well represented at the PGA show. I think we have one regional there from the West Coast. We go back to Florida in the first week of January, so I don't think anybody wants to be home for a week and then go back. It makes more sense to have us out in the field selling.
Sure, absolutely. What I hear from most folks, though, is a real positive flair and attitude about the show, and everybody's really excited about 2024.
That's the same feedback I got.
Yeah. Titleist always has incredible equipment. I wish I could remember the slogan. It was for serious players, isn't that what it is? For serious players, and by that we mean people that that care about the game and care about their game.
Yeah, Frank, we call it the dedicated golfers who we think our equipment and golf balls are designed for, and that could be a handicap ranging from 4 to 24. People who are interested in golf, take golf lessons, play Pro V1, read the websites, practice, that type of thing. And that skill level is all over. And our products can fit every swing speed and every age and every handicap.
I love the fact that you mentioned the handicaps 4 to 24, because for so many years, you know, people thought they weren't good enough to play Titleist equipment. And you just have to give it a try to find out that you can be fitted and it will work for you.
Yeah, we have one of the lightest weight drivers, the TSR1, on the market today that is made for, if you need some club head speed, we're going to help you there. So every handicap you can fit into Titleist product.
I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to meet Bob Vokey, and I love the story about how this man became, you know, the wedge guru, and as I remember it, and him telling it, was pretty much the fact that when Titleist decided they were going to have this wedge division, they looked around and he said, well, okay, I'll do it. And he became this worldwide designer. I mean, it was just, what an incredible story. And year after year after year, he comes out with product that is not only new and you know, innovative and exciting, but certainly on tour, people love playing it.
Yeah, the Vokey wedge, we're coming out with SM10 in the first week of March. The best players in the world put that product in after a day of testing. Good story about Max Homa, who was one of the shining stars for the United States Ryder Cup team last September. After his fitting in December, he handed the wedges he used at the Ryder Cup to our tour rep, say, nope, SM10 is going in the bag. So that's how much they have trust in what Bob and Aaron Dill, our other individual who works on the tour, in the SM10 and what's coming. So they are all in on SM10. In fact, over the weekend, Wyndham Clark, who won the AT&T, had 4 Vokey wedges in his bag, SM10.
Now we have to back up a little bit. Wyndham Clark, yes, he won, that's true, but he shot a 60, course record at Pebble Beach. I mean, he just didn't win. He shattered Pebble Beach over the weekend.
Wyndham Clark has been a great story on the tour. Obviously, last year we know that he won the U.S. Open, but to move from not even being ranked or ranking outside of the top 200 to being, I think he's number 10 in the world right now and a Ryder Cup member, and that's mostly with a full bag of Titleist golf clubs. So our marriage with him has been wonderful.
You know, everybody is finally coming around to the fact that we probably ought to be fitted for our golf clubs if we want the best kind of performance and you know, more fun in the game. And I think we're all accustomed to getting fitted for a driver and irons. But when it comes to wedges, That's just a mystery area to most people. The whole thing about bounce and loft and this grind and that grind can be very confusing. You've got a kind of a wedge fitting guide on your website, which I kind of went through the other day, and it really was interesting. With so many wedges available, I suppose it makes it a little more difficult to think you're getting the right wedge, but going through that fitting really seemed to help.
Yeah, Frank, we all want to talk about how far we hit the driver, and certainly getting fit for a driver is a lot of fun. But we only use the driver maybe 14 times in a round. Think of how many times you hit a wedge shot. So if you're not properly gapped or you don't have the right bounce, the easiest way to get better in golf is to be properly fit for wedges and then have a golf ball that you can trust. So I would say that a wedge fitting is just as big a part as an iron fitting or a driver, because you use those golf clubs more often. And we have demos at most all golf courses in the Sacramento area. We have fitters like Hagen Oaks who use a application with their TrackMan to help fit for wedges that really, if you're serious about getting better, you should go see somebody and get fit for wedges just like you would your irons or your driver.
Everybody says that if you really want to get better in your game, the short game is where you really need to do it. And as you say, everybody just wants to hit the driver farther.
Yeah, well, think about the average handicap, and I'm including me in that, their game. They don't hit as many par fours and two as they should, so they need to get up and down more often. And if you're not properly gapped or you don't have the proper wedge bounce, you're not going to get up and down as much, and that's how you play better golf.
We're talking with Aaron Young, NorCal rep for Titleist. We want to talk about the Scotty Cameron new Phantom putters as well. But what is it about the SM10s that the tour players like? What happened this year that made it that much better over the nine?
So what we've done and what our feedback from tour is very important to us. And you'd be amazed if you go out to a tour event, I know, Frank, you've been to many, at how low the best players and the best women players in the world hit their wedges. They want a more, they don't lay the wedge open and hit these big flop shots. They want to drive the wedge into certain locations so they can control the spin, and they want to control their distances. So what we've done in especially the 46 and the 52 is we've moved the center of gravity a little toward the center. And those wedges, which usually hit full, are for the best players in the world. They won't hook as much or turn over as much. And so the best player can act like it's a pitching wedge and hit it to their number. And then as you get up into the 56, 58, and 60, we actually raise the center of gravity and push it up in the face and toward the face so that the best players in the world can drive in their wedge shots so they can control their number and control their spin. You won't see a lot of guys throw the ball real high up in the air. You see guys and gals flighting their wedges, and that's what they want to see. And we get that feedback from the best players in the world, and that's why Vokey wedges on tour have over 50% market share. We get all this feedback, so driving and controlling distance and proper trajectory is the way that the best players in the world get better.
Isn't that interesting, Scott, that as recreational weekend golfers, we're all just kind of really excited to hit a wedge really high and have it land soft when in effect that the tour players are saying you're better off doing it this way.
We always do things opposite, of course. That's why we're, average golfers. Aaron, you said you consider yourself in the group. I need to know what your index is before I can believe that.
Yeah, I think I'm in the 10. In the 10 okay. range, and don't play as much as I would like. So okay. I would put myself right smack in the average category, and I need all the help I can get. But it's amazing to be on this side of the business because you understand what we're trying to do with the best players in the world, but then how that translates into the amateurs. And like we just talked about fitting, amateur players don't like to hit a full wedge. They don't like to hit half shots. So for me, for example, I have 4 degrees in between each of my wedges, so I can hit full shots, and there's not a distance that I roll up on, and I'm like, oh boy, I got to hit a half shot here, and obviously I'm not practicing enough to do that. So there's a lot of things we can take away from what the best players in the world do, and that's fun to be on this side of it.
And I know we're going to get the putters here, but I'm curious too, because this is something I always think about. How many wedges should an average golfer carry? How do you determine that? Because, I mean, if you're playing within the rules, you're only supposed to have 14 clubs, which I think is antiquated. I think you should be able to carry as many clubs as you want, but that's a different
story. That would be fun, right?
I think you should.
I think most – we try and gap players between 4 and 6 degrees. I'm a big proponent of closer to 4 degrees. So, example, if my pitching wedge is in the 44 range, my next wedge I want to have in the 48 to 50 range, and then a 54, 56, and then a 60. So you want to be comfortable with your distance. And like I said, you don't want to drive up to a distance or walk up to distance and be like, boy, I don't have this in the bag. I'd rather you be a little uncomfortable at, say, 220 or 225 and be back and forth between a 5-wood and a hybrid or whatever it is, but have your wedges stage 4 to 6 degrees. So when you roll up to that shot, you feel good about hitting a full shot. And that's why the wedge fitting is important. It's a lot of consumers I talk to, they don't know what their pitching wedge is. If you don't know the loft of your pitching wedge, how are you supposed to gap yourself properly?
There's our wedge lesson for today. Well, I want to talk about the Scotty Cameron putters, because every year we look forward to seeing what he's come out with, and what he does is create these works of art that actually are putters. These little jewels that he comes out with every year, and this year it's the Phantom putters. And tell us what we can expect there, Aaron.
Yeah, we have a series of new mallets. The Phantom 2024 will be out in late March. We have a new designer working with Scotty who's had a lot of success with mallets. And so we'll have 6 new models coming out in late March and another couple in mid-May. And they're very popular on tour. So out of our tour players, about 50% play a mallet. You think of guys like Max Homa, Justin Thomas play mallets. So these new putters, the 5, 7, and 9, and then they have their sisters, the 5.5, 7.5, and 9.5, and those are just slightly different hosels, so they may fit a little different player, but the head shape is the same, have new alignment aids. So whether it's 3-dot or straight lines going down the putter, that the best players in the world, if they come into their putter, they want the proper look so that the eye line lines up with where they're looking. So these new Phantoms will have new sight lines to help you line up, slightly new shapes, and some new patterns for so they can adjust and get the right sight lines as they start. We introduced them to tour about a month ago, and there's been a couple of switches already with them. So we're excited about them.
I was looking online, and the sight lines are certainly what jumped out. And I thought, wow, that's a beautiful sight line. Wow, that's even better. I mean, every time I went through, I couldn't figure out which one I liked the best. But that's Scotty Cameron at his best. You have a brand new golf ball, a new version of the AVX coming out this year, talking about flighting a little bit lower. Tell us what we can expect there.
Yeah, AVX has been excellent golf ball for us. It's our lowest spinning, lowest launching, but softest feeling super premium golf ball. And this year it has a new cover that's slightly thicker and a brand new core that is very resilient. So you won't lose ball speed, but you'll have a little bit, it'll feel softer and you have a little more spin around the greens, which is what all of us want. So when you look at our super premium line, you have the Pro V1X, which flies the highest. Then you have Pro V1, which is mid-launch. And then AVX is the lowest flying of all of the golf balls. And that's brand new and hitting shops as we speak.
There's about a 2-year life on the design of golf balls, correct?
That is exactly right. Just like the rest of our product, right? We saw SM9 2 years ago, and here comes SM10. Same thing with golf balls. So about 2 years. We feel like 2 years is a good time for the designers and engineers to come up with something that we think is noticeably different to our tour pros and to the consumers.
So Scott, if you don't like SM10, SM11 2 years from now, okay?
I've already marked down 2026. I'm ready to go.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Even years of the wedge are the wedge launches.
Aaron Young, Northern California rep for Titleist Golf. We could talk with you all day. I know you got a new driver coming out this summer, so we'll be sure to have you back then. And look forward to having you on the show, because you're a great guest and always bring some information we can appreciate.
Frank, thanks for everything. Appreciate it. Good to see you again, Scott.
Good to see you, Aaron.
That wraps another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. For Scott Marsh, I'm Frank LaRosa. Keep it in the fairway.